I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We read this passage in our scripture reading already this morning, beginning in chapter 52, of course, but I'd like to draw our attention to this initial verse in this very popular chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. How many of you know that Isaiah chapter 53 is probably one of the most prominent messianic prophecies in the Old Testament? What do I mean by messianic? Speaking of Jesus Christ. In case, messianic may be a term that, yeah, it is. Isaiah 53 is one that is very commonly gone to show that Isaiah spoke of Jesus. And this was hundreds of years prior to the Lord Jesus coming to the earth. Now, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to study the book of Isaiah with you. Some may struggle with why are we spending so much time in this prophet. Well, I want to remind you, this is the most quoted prophet in the New Testament, and it has some very significant, not that other passages aren't, but these passages are so significant to putting together Jesus Christ as the Messiah and God's plan that was laid out in the Old Testament. I want you to get excited about how God's word fits together and how God's plan from the foundations of the world is coming to pass and has come to pass. Prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled, and there are yet many that remain unfulfilled. And what's God going to do about them? He's going to keep his word. He's going to fulfill his promise. Now, one thing that is interesting about the book of Isaiah is he likes to talk about the Lord Jehovah and his strength. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, it reads this way, "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Isaiah here is asking this question in of the Lord. He's kind of putting this out there. Who has believed our report? Our. Who's the our? Well, this is the report, the declaration that he is God's prophet and that the Lord are declaring together to the audience of people, to the Judeans, and most directly to those that are in exile in Babylon. Who's believing what we're saying? Who's taking it into heart and saying, yes, we believe it? This can be very frustrating in our lives today when we declare things and we are excited about what God is doing, but yet we don't see the fruit. We don't see movement. We don't see a change or repentance of heart. And you can begin to ask the question, well, who's listening? Who's getting this? Isaiah is just like us. Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah has been prophesying and prophesying for many years now. And he has not seen a tremendous result from his ministry. It's not like a tremendous big revival has taken place. Yes, Hezekiah was a good and godly king. But there is not a huge revival taking place in the lives of the people. We know that to be true because the future of Judea is very bleak. They have some very wicked kings. In fact, Hezekiah's very own son Manasseh is considered the most wicked out of them all. And the people continue in their sin and in their idolatry. And yet Isaiah is looking at all the things that he has been proclaiming and saying and wondering, why aren't people listening? Why aren't people getting this? Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This statement, this phrase, the arm of the Lord, may be confusing to some, and I think it's worth us understanding, talking about. God is spirit, and so if God is spirit, does God have an arm? It's not a trick question, but what does it mean? What is God saying here in his word? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, this is the Jewish way of saying power and strength. Power and strength. So in other words, you could say, to whom is the strength of the Lord revealed? This is this is in tandem with his initial question, who has believed our report? Who has seen the strength of the Lord? Now that question only makes sense if the strength of the Lord is worth talking about. So let's just take a moment and think about that in our own hearts and minds. How strong is your God? How mighty is your God? Is your God worth bragging about, boasting of? The frustration that Isaiah is feeling here is that he has declared time and time again how wonderful and great and mighty is his God, and yet the audience, the people hearing this, are rejecting him and turning to wooden and golden idols who cannot do anything. And so in essence, they're saying, God is not worth talking about. Is he really strong? Now we're going to take just a journey through Isaiah and look at some places where the arm of the Lord is mentioned. So go to Isaiah chapter 33. Because if Isaiah is going to say, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, then it means that he has spoken of this prior. This is something that he's already unveiled to the people. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 1. Woe unto you that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with you. O Lord, verse 2, be gracious unto us. We have waited for you. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. Notice the association here. As Isaiah is speaking to the Lord, he is talking about the arm every morning. Lord, be their arm every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. Salvation is associated with the strength of the Lord. Wow. Do you realize the significance of that for you today, Christian? In order for you to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to embrace the strength of God. Because the power of sin and the curse of sin is death. Who can overcome death? There is no other power like that except for God, right? God overcomes death, and this was proven, this was shown by Jesus Christ himself. He burst forth from that tomb. It was empty. He was alive, never to die again. Today, he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the signal from God to say, go get your children. The arm of the Lord, the strength of the Lord is associated with salvation. Go to chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We spent several weeks in this passage. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Not only is the arm of the Lord associated with salvation, but it is also associated with the rule and power of God. God is not abandoning his people. God has a plan for his people, and he will one day rule with a rod of iron. In other words, no one will question his authority or stand up against him to overcome him. Our God is able to overcome all earthly powers and authorities. His arm, his strength, is associated with his rule. Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 12. Isaiah 48 and verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Verse 13 of Isaiah 48, my hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All you assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Not only does the arm of the Lord, his strength, have to do with salvation and his rule, but also with his judgment. You see, God did allow the Assyrians and the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to have authority over his people. Why? Because of their own sinfulness. They had transgressed against his law. And so therefore, by their own choice and their own doing, they went into exile. And yet the arm of the Lord is over these earthly powers. And he too will bring an exact judgment upon them, just as he did to his own people. You see, the arm of the Lord, he's strong. He is mighty to save, mighty to rule, mighty to judge. Chapter 51. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Wow. His arm is mighty to lean on. Do you lean on the Lord? You lean on him? You trust in him? On my arm shall they trust. I'll be the first to tell you that when life happens and circumstances and things come staring at you in the face, difficult circumstances, troubles, trials, conflicts, and the temptation is so quickly to muster it up and make things happen. Anybody been there? How'd it go? Right? How's it go? When we muster it up in ourselves, I'm working on this when I come across a trouble, a trial. I'm working on this. I don't do it all the time, but I'm trying to go to God first. How many times have you gone through
something difficult, and then you finally remember, you know what, I really should pray about this. Oh, we struggle, and we're all like, I get it. Why is this? Do we question the strength of God? Is he not strong enough that we can lean on him? That we can trust on him? May God flood our minds with his strength, that we come to him first, that we run to his feet and bow and worship and say, God, we need your help. We know you are able. We know you are strong. Help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Chapter 52, verse 7. Listen to this. This will sound familiar to many of you from Romans chapter 10. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We've been familiar with the cartoons, and if there's any fight in the cartoons, what do you see the fighters doing, right? What do? They start to roll up their sleeves, right? Now I'm doing it because I'm hot, not because I'm fighting. But isn't it interesting here, the visual image that you get? He bares his arm. Look at it again, verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. There is no question that God wants to communicate something with the entire world. What is it? He is strong and he is mighty. And so he bears his arm. So there is no question that when the nations look around and they see what God is doing with his people, they know and understand their God is strong. Their God is mighty. Now, let me ask you a question. How is God bearing his arm in your life today? How is God using what is taking place in your life to show and direct people to his mighty strength and glory? Are we getting in the way of that? Are we flexing our own muscles when God wants people to see his strength, not our own? I am reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You've probably heard the term a thorn in the flesh. Apostle Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and I've yet to hear any conclusive evidence as to what it was. Different ideas all over the place. My point is, what it was is not the point. The point of the passage is that God says, no, I will not remove that from you. Why? The reason is because I want to show my strength through your weakness. None of us like to be weak. I am dreading the day when I am no longer able to take my sons in arm wrestling or wrestling in general. I think I could still do it now, but there's coming a day when I will be weak. And we don't like that. And we dread that. We don't like to appear weak. for some reason there's a shame associated, and I believe that's part of the curse of this world. Our world likes to magnify humanity and human strength and power, but the scriptures speak opposite of that, don't they? It magnifies the power and the strength of God, not of us. Let us be excited about allowing Christ and his power to shine through our own weaknesses. Are you letting that happen? Are you letting that happen in your life? Am I letting that happen in my life? Whose strength is on display? Yours? Right? We can get the applause here and now. Or is it Christ? Praise be to God. You know, we want to please Christ. May God help us. May God help me. That brings us to our chapter 53 in verse 1. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? People aren't getting it. They are missing the fact that God is strong in salvation, and strong in judgment. He's strong in authority. Where are we? I want to invite you to go to the book of Luke, and I want to highlight for you how the New Testament makes use of this passage. In Luke chapter 1, Mary, after she has been told that she is going to be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah, she is full of joy and she begins to sing. And there's this beautiful song of Mary. And in the midst of this song, we hear these words. Look at verse 50. Luke 1:50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He that showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary sings about the strength of the Lord, his arm. In verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. Go to John chapter 12, and I appreciate you sticking with me, but I want you to see the unity of the scriptures on this point. In John chapter 12, Jesus, in the latter part of the chapter, speaking here to his disciples and some others that are gathered together. In verse 37, John writes in the narrative, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again," and this is from Isaiah chapter 6, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." As John writes in this gospel, he gives in the narrative an explanation for what is happening in Jesus' earthly ministry, and how similar it was to the ministry of Isaiah. Isaiah was God's prophet speaking forth God's word. But here comes Jesus more than just a prophet, but God's son, the promised Messiah. And yet the people do not hear him. They do not respond to him. They do not embrace him. And so John gives in the narrative this quote from Isaiah to help people, to help us realize and understand that God is the one who opens up people's hearts to believe. We can be frustrated. We can proclaim and we can preach and see no fruit. But we also need to realize that as we are faithful to our beloved God, he is strong and able to save, and he does so according to his will, not ours. And so with that in mind, I encourage you with Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, and he tells them this, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What is the arm of the Lord in your life today? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may you and I join with the Apostle Paul in proclaiming, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And dear ones, it's the gospel that saved you, that brought you to Christ. But I want you to realize, don't forget about the gospel, because it's the gospel of Jesus that sustains you. It's the gospel of Jesus that helps you to keep on going, because you realize the grace of God that was displayed in the gospel we continually need every single day. It is the gospel that helps us to forgive, because as Jesus Christ forgave you and Jesus Christ forgave me, so we forgive others. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the cross of Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection. Listen, the arm of the Lord is revealed to us through Jesus Christ, his power. His power is almighty. He is able to do whatever his will commands. That is our God. That's the God of the Scriptures. That's the God that Isaiah is excited about and proclaiming and wondering, why aren't people getting this? Why aren't people hearing our report? Wake up. Wake up, he says. Awake. And so we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, let us awake to the power of the gospel. Let us awake to realizing, yes, God has done an incredible work in our life. Let's get excited about the strength of our God and proclaim it. Proclaim it. How strong is your God? How is God's strength being revealed in and through life? Are you ashamed of the gospel? May you hear the word of God today. May you understand and realize that God can be trusted. That you can lean on him. And he wants you to lean on him. Don't be ashamed, dear ones, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank you, Lord, for your power, for your strength. And we needed this reminder today. And so, God, we know that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Because we have the mighty power of God through the gospel, we walk by faith. Help us, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, amen.